My message today opens up with a story about travel. Now, you and I, everybody here in this room, I believe, has traveled from your home to Pismo Beach, California, and we have gone on a journey. Some have traveled farther than others, but all of us had some kind of adventure, whether it's by car, or by plane, or by train, for some, we've all traveled. Now, travel involves making plans and taking the risk that our plans will fall apart. We may encounter detours, we may encounter delays, bad weather, and generally, we just have to anticipate dealing with unexpected things. That's just the nature of travel, by going from one place to the next. So this year, just before the feast, it was just 1 week prior to the feast, in fact, I had a business trip planned where I was supposed to travel as well to the Twin Cities in Minnesota. It was a super quick meeting, in fact. I was there for just a little bit more than 24 hours just for a brief meeting. But for that particular trip, I really did not have that much time to plan out the logistics and figure out where I was going and how I was going to get there. It came together very quickly, and it was a very short trip. I just knew a few of the important details, and that was it. I knew the name of my hotel. I didn't know the address. I knew that my flight would take me to the airport. In fact, I was even a little fuzzy about which airline I was flying up until the last moment. I just knew I had a ticket. I also knew one more key factor, and that was that I could travel by train from the airport to close to my hotel. I just knew that I didn't need to rent a car, is what that boiled down to. And that really was about it. I didn't know a whole lot. Let's see, I also knew, I guess, the location of the meeting that I had to attend as well, and that I could get there by train, too. But beyond that, I didn't have enough time to plan out every step along the path, every single detail. And what was intriguing is that I didn't need to. I didn't need to plan out every step along the way. As soon as I got onto the shuttle from Fort Collins, Colorado, and I knew it was going to take me to the airport. I was certain of that. And as soon as I got to the airport, I knew that I could figure out from there which plane I was going to get onto, which gate to go to. And I knew that as soon as I was on the plane, it would bring me to the Minneapolis airport. And I knew that as soon as I was there, I would be able to follow signs to find a train that hopefully went in the right direction. And I would wind up taking it to a stop where I would then, again, find the location of my hotel. Of course, I had a phone with me. Technology is wonderful these days. I had the tools necessary to get me from one place to the next. But the point that I'm making is that a plan for what we need to do, and this example serves as a template. But our plans in our spiritual life don't need to have every single detail filled out, but we need to have the important details understood very clearly. We need to know where we're going as Christians. We need to know what the end goal is. The analogous part of my story is that I needed to know where the hotel, that I had a hotel that I was staying at. I needed to know that I had a plane and a train that would be there to get me there. I didn't have to know what timetable the train was on. I didn't have to know the address of the hotel. But I had to know a few key details. I knew also that the additional details that were required to get me there would be available. They would be presented to me. I would be able to find them. Now, this is very analogous to the way that we need to lead our Christian lives in the anticipation of Jesus Christ's return and the establishment of the kingdom of God. We can try to plan out far in advance how we might get to the place of safety, for example, or what exactly we will do at the moment that Christ returns. It's hard to resist thinking about these kinds of things. In fact, we know that this world is going to turn upside down in the future. And we want to be as prepared as possible. But we need to remember that we can only plan so far ahead into the future. Dates that might be set are bound to pass without event. They have in the past and they will in the future. A packed suitcase and a stash of cash may seem like it will help us in a time of trouble, but the amount of help that will provide us will be limited. We know that people will be throwing their silver and gold in the streets because it will be not useful. There's no doubt that we need to plan. There's no question about that. But our plans need to emphasize the spiritual goals that we are seeking rather than the physical logistics of how that will happen. Let's open up our Bibles and go over to Matthew 24, and I'd like to read the parable of the fig tree, and this begins in verse 32. Matthew 24, beginning in verse 32. Okay. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. And I'll continue in verse 36. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, we will have indicators. We know that Jesus Christ will return. We know, because his word will not pass away until that is fulfilled. But we don't know exactly what will happen. We will have indicators, however. Just as the fig tree, when its branch turns tender and puts forth leaves, that is an indication that summer is near, just as the events in prophecy are indicators to us that Jesus Christ's return is near. We can see it approaching. It is coming. We know if we read the Bible, if we study, if we watch world events, that these things are taking place and that Jesus Christ's return will be near. Now, how will we react? What will our response be when we see some of these world events? Are we going to stockpile? Are we going to pack our suitcases? Ultimately, we need to think very long and hard about where we put our trust and where we put our faith. Is it going to be in a packed suitcase, or is it going to be faith in God? Knowing that the large details that Christ's return is something that we will prepare for, but that God will lead our way. How will and where will we put our faith? In ourselves or in God? That is a key question. Now, I do want to make the point that it is not a bad thing to prepare physically. We definitely need to plan, right? We need to know that we're not exposed and not putting ourselves at risk. But we definitely need to make space for God to be in our lives. Do our preparations keep God into the picture, or do they push him out? That's something we need to think about. Let's turn over to Proverbs 16. There are several verses there that I think really help us to understand how the plans of man and the plans of God work together. I'll start in Proverbs 16 and verse 1. The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Now, thinking about what we read here, the plans of man are the ones that are from his heart really do belong to man, but they are subject to the will of God. God's answer is what will make our plans have an effect or not. So, if that's the case, we need to make sure that the plans of our heart are in accordance with the will of God. We need to turn our plans over to God's will. And of course, he weighs our hearts and our spirit. He looks at our true intentions, the plans of our heart, and he makes his decisions according to his will, right? But our heart and our intentions must be pure. Let's continue in verse 9 of Proverbs 16. This elaborates further. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Now this here, again, emphasizes that the plans need to come from the heart, not the head, and that God will direct our steps. If you think about what that means here, our plans may be designed to be in accordance with the will of God for those big, big events. You know, we need to be subject to God and subject to his will, and we need to turn over the steps of our plan to God to direct. Following the analogy, if I am looking to get to a place, I know that I will get there. That kingdom of God, actually it's not really an analogy, it's a direct goal that we have. We know that we are looking to get to the kingdom of God. That's something that is in our hearts. God will have to help us. We need to give space to God to direct our steps to get there. Let's turn over to Psalm 33 and read verses 10 through 12. Psalm 33, starting in verse 10. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Here we see a contrast between the plans of man that do not have God involved and the effect those plans have, and that stands opposed to those who actually do submit to God, the nation that God is for. For those people, the plans will come to fruition because they are in accordance with God's will. If our plans are not in accordance with God's will, they will have no effect. So they better be in accordance with his will. Let's turn over to 1 John 3 and read verses 2 through 3. But there are many things that we do not know. We anticipate the return of Jesus Christ. We know that that will happen, but we do not know when. That is not, it has not been revealed to us, and we know that it won't be. Only God the Father knows. 1 John 3, starting in verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God. We know that. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. We don't understand everything yet. Certain things have not been revealed. As it states here, now, this also tells us how we can meaningfully prepare. What do we do if we are to anticipate the return of Christ, anticipate the change, the spiritual conversion, if you will, of us? What should we do? It states in the verse 3 here exactly what we are supposed to do. And everyone who has this hope in him does what? Purifies himself, just as he is pure. Can you purify yourself physically? Not in the eyes of God. The way to prepare, in accordance with the will of God, is to purify our lives. That is conversion. We purify our lives by submitting to him, repenting, turning away from sin, and living a life that is spiritual. That is how we purify our lives and prepare for that event that we anticipate so strongly. Let's turn over to Matthew 24. And I'd like to read starting in verse 44. Matthew 24 and verse 44. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, the master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on that day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware of, and will cut him in two, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It all boils down to this. We are preparing for the return of Jesus Christ. Just how we prepare is up to us. That is a very important decision that we have to make continually. Are we going to prepare by purifying ourselves? Or are we going to prepare by focusing on the physical preparations instead and leave God out of the picture? Who will we trust is the question. For my final scripture, I'd like to turn to Luke 12 and read verses 16 through 21. Luke 12, starting in verse 16. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The point is that, of course, we need to be rich towards God, and that means purifying our lives, living according to His will. The path that we follow, that God has prepared for us, requires that we submit to Him, not that we put trust in our physical comforts. In this example, we see somebody who has physically been set. He's he's got more than he needs. He's got enough to lead a comfortable life from here on into the future. And what happens? He loses that trust in God and puts trust and faith in himself. We have all been blessed with the opportunity to inherit eternal life. It's something that we look forward to. That is our goal. That is the substance of our plan, spiritually speaking. And we all need to ask ourselves a very simple question. Are our plans for attaining that goal faithful enough to give God room to perform His mighty work on our behalf?